looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
Hey, this is Jim Graham from the Masculine Journey Podcast, where we explore relationship instead of religion every week. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to If Not for God, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
If not for God today, another Christmas If Not for God, which it seems to fit, but actually, you know, a lot of folks this time of year really seem to be looking for, you know, where are your Christmas? Like Betty Lou Who said many years ago, Mike, you know, on How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I know a lot of folks, and many times myself, I've felt like that. Where are you Christmas? And here we are in 2020. And so, you know, I think it's a real opportunity for us to think about that, if not for God right now.
It is, and since we just did something about Christmas songs, I've got another one. Oh, Holy Night. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared,
and the soul felt its worth.
That's it, till he appeared. And we were talking this morning over at Popeye's Kitchen, and you've done a little studying, Robbie, about the virgin birth, and you're really good at looking up the Hebrew words. And well, tell me what you've been looking at.
Well, Mike, you inspired me, actually. You called me the other day, said I wanted to do a show on that. And I said, well, I've thought a lot about that over the years, especially the connection to Genesis, to the virgin birth, Genesis 1. And I thought about it a lot. And I thought, well, how fun. I'll just do some study. And so as I went into that, I've long since had this connection between Genesis 1, where the earth was void, you might remember, without form. And we've even talked about this on the Masculine Journey, being that's kind of chaotic. Mm-hmm. And it said the Spirit hovered over the waters.
Yeah.
And I've often thought about the Spirit hovering over the waters of Mary's stomach as, you know, how this actually took place is a phenomenal thing to ponder, you know, like how did this happen? And as you really look into the Hebrew of these words in Genesis 1, as the Spirit hovers over the waters, that's the ruach, that breath, okay?
Okay.
It's hovering over the mayim, which has everything to do with the Holy Spirit and Jesus, okay? Because water, it starts with that mumma sound, which means Messiah, you know, and we could spend the whole show on just that subject.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, very shortly thereafter in Genesis 1:9, there's this little thing where it says that the God said, let the waters be gathered together.
Hmm.
And it's a fascinating little study there because the word that he uses is kava, which to be gathered together is kava. Well, the other place most people would recognize that word is in Isaiah 40, right? When you're to wait on the Lord so that you can rise up with wings on evil. Well, that eagles, not evil.
Yeah.
But that word kava there is being gathered together, like those waters were being gathered together. Hmm. Well, I don't know if you know this, but babies, when they're born, are like 83% or 84% water.
Hmm.
You know, when you compare it to a regular human beings in the neighborhood of 65%, whatever, but their lungs are almost like 88% water. I don't know if you know that, but breath, again, think about the ruach and the water that's involved, because Jesus is the living water, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so as we began to think about, or as I began to just picture this in my mind, and I've thought about it for years, how that looked, I decided to go back to Isaiah 7, which is where it's quoted. It said, behold, mm-hmm. there's going to be a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the word for sign in Hebrew, in the ancient Hebrew script, not the one that they use today or the ones that you would see in most Torah scrolls, but the ones that they used in the time of David, if you see money that's been minted back in those days, if you looked at the actual script there,
sure.
the word sign would start with a cross, literally. Huh. I mean, and not a cross that didn't look like the cross of Christ. I mean, it literally, when you see it in that script, it looks like a cross. When Isaiah penned that, because that was his time, that the way he probably wrote that was, mm-hmm. you know, behold, a cross, a sign
yeah.
will be given to you that the virgin will be with child. And you may have heard it said at times when people studied this, that, well, that's not necessarily a virgin. It could be a young maiden. Well, if you study the Bible a lot, you realize that the first time that they use a word is going to tell you a lot about that word. And the first time the word virgin comes in the Bible is when Isaac is going to get a wife picked out by, you know, Abraham's servant. And he goes clearly, and he describes that when the virgin shows up with the camel story, you know,
mm-hmm.
that is the first time you see the word virgin. And the word in Hebrew, if you look around the root of that word, it means hidden or to be covered. Well, I mean, that all lines up with virgin. It doesn't line up with young woman.
Mm.
But once again, when you look inside the letters of the word virgin, there's this almost a sense of being yoked to a heart that's yearning for God. And then you'll find this letter we talked about, the mem, mm-hmm. the waters,
mm-hmm.
or living water,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now if we go back for a minute and think about when God made man, he what formed him out of the dust, and then he breathed, okay? He, that breath, ruach, he breathed life into him. And so here are these waters, as I picture them in Mary's birth. And this has just been something, you know, I just love to think about.
Okay.
That the Spirit breathed life into Mary, and those waters were gathered together to become essentially the Savior that would die on that mark.
Yeah.
That behold yeah. a cross.
Yeah.
Right?
There's no accidents with God.
No, no. And, you know, some say that they've studied and there's 300 prophecies. I'm just going to go out on a limb right here and tell you there are probably millions of prophecies.
Right.
If you really understood all
right.
that was to be understood in the way that God wrote the scriptures, which, you know, many believe were written, you know, long before anything came to pass and almost were fulfilled through those letters meant what they meant as they were happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at this, I'm looking at Colossians 1:16 through 20 in the King James Version. It says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Well, Robbie, that tells me a lot. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's so rich. The whole, the Christmas story and, you know, the things that have been illustrated by our ancestors, we really do stand on the shoulders of giants that have seen things through the ages, things as simple as red and green, things as simple as a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked about this last week in my show, that think about all the wood that was used in the Bible and then we put lights on a tree. Well, mm-hmm. the light of the world on a tree, I'm just saying, yeah. you know, that's a picture of the cross. Once again, you just get there.
Yeah.
And you know, you think about how our ancestors, you know, like Stu said, that all those songs have joy in them. All of them have holly and mistletoe and all these things that you may not think say Jesus. Well, don't forget that Jesus is the Word, right?
Right.
And so the expression of these things in joy, the expression of these things in love are, in fact, they're Jesus.
They're Jesus. And matter of fact, one of the things that I've thought about lately was the Nicene Creed. Are you familiar with that? How many times do we go through our prayers and we go, thank you, Lord, for the food. Thank you for another day, whatever. And it's like we say stuff without even really even thinking about it. I'm going to read it right now. It says, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things that are visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to the life in the world to come. Amen. And when I read that, and when I think about how big this is, what we're talking about, I mean, this is not just small stuff, Robbie. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, that he came, he did this for, and you're saying this has always been planned. I mean, he knew everything that was going to happen. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, and when you think about the world, it says he came in the fullness of time. And the world was in complete chaos. I mean, I know Noah was in a chaotic time, but think about when Jesus came, what kind of evil was in the world, what all was going on. And here he came. And just like the Spirit hovering over the waters, all of a sudden, all this chaos, which would have been complete death for everybody involved, eternity away from God, got turned around in this particular time. And the word remember is pretty prevalent at the crucifixion, because the thief that ends up getting to spend eternity in paradise says to Jesus, remember me.
Remember me, yeah.
Well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Right, like I would like Jesus to remember me.
Absolutely.
But when he comes into his kingdom is what he said. And so the last time that we heard remember right before that was actually Jesus at communion.
Mm.
So when you look at his communion or the Last Supper's communion and you realize that it was a Passover Seder for them, this is a Jewish thing.
Mm-hmm.
That they would always, you read it in any Bible, it says he blessed the bread before he broke it, okay? And I don't know if you've ever given that a lot of thought.
Right.
But there's a really structured prayer that Jews say before they break the bread at a Passover supper. They just do. And it goes something like this, Barach, right? Does that sound like the Spirit again? Barach, but that means bless. Blessed are you, Adonai, right? That these are same letters that are coming out. And Jesus is saying this about the bread that he's fixing to break to illustrate that he is fixing to be broken in part, and we are going to consume him, right? Because when he'd broken it, it said he gave thanks and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in what? In remembrance of me, right?
Yeah.
And Christmas is phenomenally about remembering, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we put up our Christmas tree every year, these ornaments, the kids, when, you know, I'm at the point where I have grandkids and all this,
right.
But my kids all have these little angels that they made when they're, and every one of them has a little different picture on their little angel, but we put all those, and all those remembrances, and then there's the Christmas nail. And I don't know if you got one of these, but they're just really, really cool. And the real ones are fairly long. You can find them on Amazon. It's called a Christmas nail. And the idea is that you hang it way inside in the on the trunk of the tree where people don't see it, but you know it's there.
Hmm.
And it's a great big nail, like was went through Jesus's body. Hmm. And the idea by putting it down there by the trunk of that tree where nobody can see it is to remember, it's to remember that this tree, you know, was where Jesus would be slain so that I could enjoy this Christmas,
yeah.
so that I could have this spirit,
yeah.
so that I could love my family and I could
yeah.
love one another and
yeah.
and all those kind of things. And, you know, it's a big deal.
And when you think about all that Jesus has done for us, I tell you what, for me, it makes it a lot easier to forgive other people. When I think about all the things that Jesus has forgiven me of, as a matter of fact, it makes me think that Jesus is a friend. Oh, wait, John 15:15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And so many times in my own life, I kind of see God as this thing who's far off and, you know, I'm just afraid of him and he doesn't want anything to do with me. And yeah, I know he's in control of the universe, but when I look at this, I look at this song and I think about that verse and it says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And Robbie, I know this just about as good as anybody that I know, because you know that Jesus can be your friend because you wake up every morning, what, 4:30 in the morning?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really cool thing. If you did not know this, essentially, I did not know the Lord until I was in my 30s. And essentially, I was a car dealer, and all my education was in how to sell cars, actually. And Norman Vincent Peale actually put me on the idea of studying this and getting up and reading the Bible an hour every morning. And of course that's grown over the years, but it's done through prayer. And he said, don't try to read it without praying, because if you try to do that, you'll never understand that. And so, you know, from day one, as I began to read the Bible in my 30s, God came and he really became my friend, and he's taken me deeper and deeper. And I think about how cool is it, Mike? I mean, how cool it was that these guys that were sitting around in the temple when he was, 12 years old or whatever, this is the only guy that's ever lived that understood all these words. Because if you read all the Jewish commentaries, they all argue about what this means and what that means. And if you read most commentaries now on the King James Bible, whatever, this person has this view, this person has that view.
Right.
So here comes a guy who shows up that, number one, knows what those words actually are, and he knows what they actually mean. And so it's almost amazing to me how many times he's taken me on a journey to understand something, and he's pointed me to this scripture, or he's pointed me to this commentary, he's pointed me to this understanding of this Greek word or this Greek Hebrew letter or this Hebrew connotation or this story that just totally illustrated, because he's my friend and I'm his, you know. And then all of a sudden the word that I love is that I'm astonished, like, oh my, look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just beyond cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that just blows me away.
Yeah.
And then I learn something, and then I can't help but be his witness.
Right? That's right. That's right.
I can't help but go tell everybody I know, look what I found today in the Bible. Look how cool is that. and you automatically, as a disciple, as his friend, he will astonish you over and over and over again. And so what's really cool in my life, honestly, Mike, is I have Stu Epperson is my boss. I mean, and he's quite often astonished, and he comes tells me, and I get to talk to Mike Zwick at least once or twice every single week, and I get to talk to James Banks once or twice. All these people that are totally astonished, and when they get astonished, guess what they do? They share with me, and then I get to share with them. And I don't know what circle, you know, God has you in, but I can almost bet money that there's people that when they get astonished, they want to witness to you. And then, Mike, you do it time and again. Like, you heard this sermon on the Truth Network, or you talk about, I heard this story, or I saw this, and you were astonished, and you remember, and then you witness.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, it's funny. A good friend of mine, Tony Jackson, was actually the one who got me on the radio, and I felt like God was telling me to...
Oh, I have to tell you before you go any further. Saturday, this Saturday, I'm walking through the studio, and this man says, man, I got to tell you how much I appreciate you and your ministry. You know, I've been listening to Mike Zwick's show, and it's just awesome. Did you know I'm the guy that originally, I said, well, what's your name? And he says, Tony. And I went, Tony, man, you don't know how much I appreciate what you've done for my life by just bringing Mike. You know, we haven't known each other, but what, a year?
Yeah.
A couple months?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah. Seems like forever.
but man, Tony's the guy. I'm just telling you, a really nice guy.
He's wonderful, wonderful person. Biggest heart, but he's the one, you know, and Tony just randomly said, Mike, you should come on the radio. And it's like these small little things that we think are so insignificant that we do can have a huge impact. Going back to what you were saying about prayer, I've heard a story about C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis was married at the time, and he was praying. And his wife said to him, she said, why are you praying? She said, you know it doesn't do any good. And he said, well, yeah, he says, but prayer changes me. Well, you know and I know, Robbie, that's simply not true. Prayer changes things. As a matter of fact, I'm looking up 10 Bible verses right now about prayer. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Jeremiah 29:12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Matthew 21:22, the one we just talked about. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Psalm 5:3, in the morning, Lord, like you, Robbie, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Psalm 42:8, by day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. 3 John 1:2, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And what it tells me, Robbie, from what you're saying, what I'm saying, all this stuff, is that God cares for us. He cares for us. He loves us. He wants a relationship with us.
Yeah, and the cool thing about all that is that prayer is friendship. It's just... if you're going to have a relationship with anybody, it's going to come through talking to them. The cool thing is that Jesus, I mean, really cool thing about it, he invented the idea. Yeah. I mean, he invented ways of expression. I mean, this was completely his deal. And so he's really good at expressing himself to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, really good, and not overwhelming you.
Yeah.
Or underwhelming you, however you want. He just has the exact right amount of expression. He gives you complete dignity, and he gives you no condemnation.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost one of the ways that I know if it's Jesus speaking. Like, do I feel some condemnation right now? maybe that isn't where that's coming from.
Yeah.
But as I think about C.S. Lewis and the quote that you did, you know, his wife was dying, and she did in fact die.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote the problem with pain as a result of all that. And there's so many things, even in that statement, that absolutely prayer changes my heart, because through prayer, right?
Right.
I begin to actually, I'm a verbal processor, and I know you are too.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I haven't completely thought through something until I actually speak it out to God.
Yeah.
And as I'm speaking, it's like, oh. I can't tell you how many times I wanted him to do something, and when I said it, it immediately it was like, oh, you really? You want me to do that? And my mind engages and go, oh, no, wait, hold on that. You know, it's a beautiful thing that it both can availeth much, but it was also kind of, you know, in your Nicene Creed is kind of what we were designed for, right? Is this relationship that happened as a result of Christmas, which we talk about at boot camp, was more like the landing scene at D-Day than it was away in a manger. Because he was coming into a world at war that was very much killing off people, and they were fixing to kill every baby in Bethlehem. I mean, this was a horrible, chaotic time like we really don't have any sense of.
Yeah.
And God was coming into this nightmare and setting up a beachhead that would literally slowly work through and change the world in ways that absolutely are amazing. I mean, we really, it's phenomenal.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I think about, Robbie, is from the song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul." And the only way that it can really be well with your soul is if you give your life over to Jesus.
It is the reason for the season. So while we're at this part of the show, we would ask you to join us, right? Let's pray like the thief, like, Lord, remember me.
Yes.
When you come into your kingdom, right?
Yes.
And Lord, help me to be with you.
Yes.
Today in paradise. Because if he comes and lives in your heart today, like everything changed for me. The day that I asked that question and I began to enter into that relationship to be a friend of Jesus, that could happen to you this Christmas, and no Christmas hereafter will ever be the same. It's going to be amazing. I would say, if not forgotten.
If not forgotten.
This is the Truth Network.